Universal education. Education and the ability to read and write is a key factor for independent investigation of truth, eliminating the need for depending on someone else to decide for you. This does not mean that people should not consult and study together. Spiritual education should go parallel with academic education, since it is an essential guide for the betterment of the individual and society. Parents are responsible for the education of their children, but when they cannot afford or fail to do so, the community must. Baha'u'llah states, quote, "Regard man as a mine rich in gems of inestimable value. Education can alone cause it to reveal its treasures and enable mankind to benefit therefrom." End quote.
The equality of men and women. The past trend of keeping women uneducated and oppressed was reversed by Baha'u'llah more than a century ago. He teaches that men and women are equal in the sight of God. The Universal House of Justice states, quote, "Equality between men and women does not indeed physiologically, it cannot, mean identity of functions," end quote. The Baha'i faith gives preference to women as far as education is concerned because they raise the next generation. In regard to membership on the Universal House of Justice, the Guardian explains, quote, "There is a tablet from Abdu'l-Bahá in which he definitely states that the membership of the Universal House of Justice is confined to men, and that the wisdom of it will be fully revealed and appreciated in the future. In the local as well as the national houses of justice, however, women have the full right of membership. It is therefore only to the international house that they cannot be elected. The Baha'is should accept this statement of the Master in a spirit of deep faith, confident that there is a divine guidance and wisdom behind it which will be gradually unfolded to the eyes of the world." End quote.
Spiritual solution to the economic problem. The present imbalance between extremes of wealth and poverty is unjust. As Baha'u'llah warns, quote, "The best beloved of all things in my sight is justice. Turn not away therefrom if thou desirest me." End quote. The simple formula for solving the economic problem is the change and transformation of hearts by the power of Baha'u'llah's words. With change of heart for equity and justice, and when workers consider their work as worship, strife and strikes will be eliminated. Both workers and management should consult in the spirit of cooperation. Baha'u'llah states that workers must receive a share of the profits of the business. Absolute economic equality is not possible, but extremes must be eliminated. In the global system, greed and self-interest must be replaced by cooperation and sharing of natural resources by all nations.
Universal language. This teaching of Baha'u'llah, more than a century old, is one of the greatest means for bringing about unity and understanding. According to Baha'u'llah, one language must be invented or chosen from the existing languages and taught in all schools of the world. The application of universal language, which implies written as well as spoken, has two stages. First is an auxiliary language being taught in addition to the native languages. The second stage is in the distant future, when there will be only one language worldwide. This category of teaching also includes uniform and universal currency, weights, and measures.
Topic number 5 is some Baha'i laws. Some of the Baha'i laws are found in the other great religions of the past, and some are new. As social conditions change and mankind matures, new laws will be needed. Baha'u'llah has authorized the Universal House of Justice to legislate on whatever he has not revealed, and as conditions require, may change only its own laws. Baha'i laws are of two kinds. Laws such as obligatory prayer, which depends on one's maturity and love for Baha'u'llah and will not be enforced by any authority. Other laws, such as those concerning marriage and divorce, are enforced by the institutions. Disregard for such laws might cause forfeiting one's administrative rights, which means one cannot participate in the 19-day feast meetings, administration, elections, nor contributing to the Baha'i funds. The Kitab-e Aqdas, which is a must to have in every Baha'i home, became available in English in 1993. Although many laws are binding on the believers in Iran, not all are applicable in the West. According to the maturity of the believers in the West, and at the discretion of the Universal House of Justice, more laws will become applicable. Because of time limitations, in this presentation only some of the laws will be discussed. Obligatory prayer. Obligatory prayer is one of the major Baha'i laws. It is a private act and must be done with all its rites, namely ablution, meaning washing hands and face, then standing towards the Qibla, or the point of adoration, which is the shrine of Baha'u'llah. One must recite one of the three obligatory prayers daily. The short one may be recited between noon and sunset. The medium is to be repeated 3 times daily, sunrise to noon, noon to sunset, and sunset to 2 hours after sunset. The long obligatory prayer could be recited at any time within 24 hours. The obligatory prayer is a spiritual law binding between the ages of 15 and 70. For exemptions, please refer to the Kitab-e Aqdas.
Fasting. Abdu'l-Bahá states that prayer and fasting are the causes of awakening and mindfulness and are conducive to protection and preservation from tests. The spirit in which one approaches the fast is very important. The period of fasting is a time when abstaining from food and drink reminds us that we are spiritual as well as physical beings. It is a time for cleansing from selfish desires, lust, prejudices, and other impurities. It is a time to meditate on how to further enrich one's spiritual life. The Baha'i fast lasts 19 days from March 2nd through March 20th. During this time, one abstains from eating, drinking, and smoking from sunrise to sunset. It is a spiritual obligation for believers between the ages 15 and 70. Exemptions are for those traveling, sick, pregnant, nursing a child, and for other exemptions and details, please refer to the Kitab-e Aqdas.
Huquq-ullah. It means the right of God. This law is different from the voluntary contributions to the funds. It is the material aspect of a spiritual obligation not enforced by any institution. However, Baha'u'llah warns us, quote, O people, deal not faithlessly with the right of God, end quote. He assures us that the giver will be the beneficiary. It is like a tree which gets its sustenance from the earth. Every year it gives some of its wealth back to the earth by shedding its leaves. These leaves kill the weeds and eventually act as a fertilizer benefiting the tree itself. To the earth, it does not matter if the tree sheds or not. Whenever a believer's pure accessible wealth reaches the value equal to 19 mesqal of gold, one must pay 19% of it as the right of God to the trustee of Hukukullah, which is forwarded to the Universal House of Justice. Mesqal is a Persian unit of weight, and 19 mesqal is about 2.2 troy ounces. For details of this law, read the Kitab-e-Aqdas as well as booklets on the subject.
Marriage and divorce. Marriage is a serious commitment between a man and woman and must be based on both spiritual and physical bonds. It should be based on love, unity, friendship, and respect. If it is a spiritual union, it will have an everlasting effect. Baha'i marriage does not require exchange of rings, but definitely requires the consents of all the living parents, even when a partner is not a Baha'i. In the presence of two witnesses, acceptable to a spiritual assembly, the bride and groom each repeat the verse, quote, "We will all verily abide by the will of God," end quote. Baha'u'llah condemns divorce in strong terms. However, if aversion develops, divorce is permitted after 1 year of living apart, called the year of patience or year of waiting. During this year, the couple should try to reconcile their differences and are not to get involved in courting a new partner.
Prohibitions. Baha'u'llah's laws are for a new social order and will lead to liberty for the individual and society. Alcohol and mind-altering drugs are forbidden unless prescribed by a physician. Gambling, backbiting, and gossip are forbidden. Sex outside marriage, as well as homosexual acts, are forbidden. Baha'is are not permitted to be members of churches or other non-Baha'i religious institutions. Baha'u'llah forbids confession of sins to another person for absolution. Criminal acts such as murder, arson, and stealing are forbidden, and provisions for punishments are given in the Kitab-e-Aqdas.
Will and burial. Every Baha'i must leave a will. Without a will, the estate will be divided according to the provisions of the Kitab-e-Aqdas wherever it is legally possible. Bodies should not be cremated, but should be buried, and the burial site must be within 1 hour's journey from the place of death, whether the journey is by air, land, or sea. Regarding embalming, the Guardian states, quote, "Under Baha'i teachings, it seems clear that the body is not to be embalmed," end quote. Before burial, the only congregational prayer in the faith should be read. With everyone standing, one person recites the prayer. For details about burial ring and preparation of the body, see the Kitab-e-Aqdas.
Loyalty to government. Baha'is recognize that governments are for keeping order in the society. The believers must obey all of the laws of their respective governments except for any law requiring them to recant their faith. Baha'is cannot belong to political parties since it would bring disunity among the believers. Our task is not to tear down or repair the old system, but rather to build a new order of Baha'u'llah and offer it to the world when everything else has failed.
Topic number 6 is the Baha'i administration, the first subject of which is the covenant of Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah promised that his followers would not be left without guidance. In the past, man's interpretations of scriptures caused great divisions within religions, each sect claiming to be the only true link to God. Now, Baha'u'llah has provided mankind with a clear and permanent link with God. He said that the covenant is like a cord that connects man to God. According to Baha'u'llah's will, called the Book of the Covenant, Abdu'l-Bahá became the center of the covenant. Abdu'l-Bahá in turn appointed Shoghi Effendi, his grandson, as the guardian of the cause, who guided the establishment of the administrative order outlined by Baha'u'llah. 6 years after the passing of Shoghi Effendi, when his 10-year plan was completed in 1963, the Universal House of Justice was elected by the 56 National Spiritual Assemblies existing then. Baha'u'llah has promised that his spirit would guide the Universal House of Justice. Therefore, its decisions are divinely inspired, and it is freed from all error. Obedience to the Universal House of Justice is obedience to God.
The Universal House of Justice. Baha'u'llah gave the world the blueprint of the administrative order. In the past, men had to devise their own systems, which were prone to corruption and abuse of power. Baha'u'llah in the Kitab-e Aqdas ordained the Universal and Local Houses of Justice in 1873. One of the most important responsibilities of the Universal House of Justice is to make laws. It cannot change laws given by Baha'u'llah. It answers difficult questions and settles disputes so vital to the preservation of unity among the believers. It also supervises national spiritual assemblies, the translation of Baha'i writings, and development of the World Center. The work of the Universal House of Justice is assisted by the International Teaching Center and the Research Department, whose members are appointed by the Universal House of Justice.
The National Spiritual Assembly. Abdu'l-Bahá established the National Spiritual Assemblies, which elect the 9 members of the Universal House of Justice every 5 years. National Spiritual Assembly members are elected once a year by delegates from every part of a country. Generally, Baha'i elections take place during Rezvan, which is the anniversary of the declaration of Baha'u'llah. However, the delegates are elected usually in October at district conventions. In some areas, instead of national, it is called regional spiritual assembly, where it oversees the local assemblies of a few countries together. All issues affecting the faith in a country or region are its responsibility. The national fund, publications, membership, and properties are under its direction.
The Local Spiritual Assembly. It is the institution Baha'is are in closest contact with. In the Kitab-e Aqdas, it is designated as Local House of Justice, but for the time being, it is known as Local Spiritual Assembly. Since there are no priests or clergy in the Baha'i faith, the local assemblies carry out the duties that in former times would be the responsibility of clergy. The 9 members are directly elected by the adult believers in a specified locality. Abdu'l-Bahá states, quote, "From them the spirit of life streameth in every direction. They indeed are the potent sources of the progress of man at all times and under all conditions." End quote. Promoting the spiritual health of the community is the responsibility which includes teaching the faith, children's and adult education, marriage, divorce, burial, the 19-day feast, and holy day observances. Shoghi Effendi advised the believers to go to their local spiritual assembly as a child goes to its parents.
Obedience to elected institutions. No believer should feel above the spiritual assembly, and there is no excuse for disobeying its decisions. One may ask questions and ask for reconsideration. If not satisfied, one may ask the National Spiritual Assembly or even appeal to the Universal House of Justice, but meanwhile must carry out instructions of the local assembly. Baha'is are promised that if they are obedient to the spiritual assembly, quote, "God will right any wrong done," end quote. Just because a believer is elected to an institution of rulers or holds an office such as chairman or secretary, he or she does not have any special authority as an individual over other believers. It is the whole elected body arriving at decisions through consultation which rules and holds authority given to it by Baha'u'llah. This is very much unlike man-made administrations with inherent authority of their officers and members.
Elections. All Baha'is age 21 and over, whose rights are in good standing, should participate in Baha'i elections and should willingly serve when elected to any administrative body, which collectively are called the institution of the rulers. Baha'i elections are free from nomination and campaigning, even to the point of privately discussing the merits of one person over another. The qualifications for members to be elected are loyalty to the cause, unselfish devotion, a well-trained mind, ability and mature experience, wealth, race, schooling, and friendship must not influence the voters.
Consultation. Consultation, which is the basis for any decision-making, must, according to Abdu'l-Bahá, be a spiritual conference. The proper steps for a fruitful consultation are, first, to find all the relevant facts, next, to see which spiritual or administrative teachings of the faith apply, and then do a full and frank discussion. Abdu'l-Bahá states, quote, "The shining spark of truth cometh forth only after the clash of differing opinions," end quote. Following these steps, a decision is made by voting if it is not unanimous. Everyone must obey the majority vote, even those who opposed it. The community at large is not informed who voted for or against an issue.
The institution of the learned. In past religions, the most learned followers usually became the rulers, who often became corrupted with ego and abuse of power. Baha'u'llah has protected the faith by giving authority and power only to the elected bodies, which are called the institution of the rulers. However, the dedicated, learned, and wise believers may be appointed to the institution of the learned so they can deepen and inspire other believers. This institution includes the hands of the cause of God, the Continental Board of Counselors, the Auxiliary Board Members, and their assistants. Baha'u'llah created the institution of the Hands of the Cause. He, Abdul Baha, and Shoghi Effendi appointed a number of believers to serve as the Hands of the Cause for protection and propagation of the faith. In 1968, the House of Justice created the institution of the Continental Board of Counselors to be responsible for the same duties as the Hands of the Cause, except their term being 5 years, and they may be reappointed. The counselors are assisted in their work by the auxiliary board members, and the board members are either for protection or propagation and are helped by assistants for the same duty. All of the above mentioned are part of the institution of the learned. The believer should learn who the board members and their assistants are in their area and feel free to consult with them on any matter.
The 19-day feast was founded by the Bab to be a meeting for unity. It should preferably be held on the first day of each Baha'i month. Attending the feast should be a priority for every believer. The feast program has 3 parts. The devotional, when the writings of the 3 central figures are read. The administrative part, when communications are read, activities of the community are reported, and consultation and recommendations are made. The last part is the social time, when refreshments are served. With love and unity, everyone gets refreshed.
The Baha'i Funds. 3 things are needed to build the New World Order: guidance, effort, and resources. Baha'is alone are given the privilege of contributing to the Baha'i Funds. Only by universal participation in efforts and resources, the teaching work can go forward. Regular contributions, preferably at each feast, should become the habit of every believer. The amount is left to the believer. Shoghi Effendi states that it is the sacred obligation of every conscientious and faithful believer to contribute freely and generously to the fund. No contribution is too small. Drops of rain form the mighty river. These funds are the Baha'i International Fund for the Universal House of Justice, the Continental Fund for the expenses of the counselors, who are consultants and advisors to the national assemblies, and finally, local and national Baha'i funds.
Pioneering. Pioneers are believers who sacrifice the comfort of their homes and move to distant places, sometimes permanently, to establish the world order of Baha'u'llah. One may go pioneering to the closest town to help form an assembly or group. This is called home front pioneering, but the ones who leave their country are praised most by Baha'u'llah. Since we are all encouraged to go pioneering, but some can't, one could financially support pioneers through a deputization fund.
Topic number 7 is Baha'i community life. It is quite rewarding to live in a community with other Baha'is. However, it can be challenging as well, as all of us have room for improvement and no one can claim to be a true Baha'i. One has to be careful not to be judgmental of others and not judge the faith by the imperfections of those who are trying. We are like fish, and the Baha'i community is like water. At times, water might not be as clear as we would like it to be. But jumping out of water means death. First subject, living the life. Baha'i teachings are revealed for every one of us to transform our lives. Of course, it takes effort and full vigilance to live our daily lives in accordance with the teachings. But after a while, it will become our second nature. Abdu'l-Bahá was the exemplar of the teachings of Baha'u'lláh. Some of the many good qualities we could strive for are courtesy, truthfulness, reverence for God, His messengers, and the holy writings, obedience to laws of God, cleanliness, justice, mercy and compassion to friends and strangers, patience, love and fellowship. One attribute which God does not possess is humility and servitude. His is the opposite, which is sovereignty and lordship. Of all the mentioned attributes, servitude and humility are the most pleasing in sight of God, like the opposite poles of a magnet attracting each other. By gradually acquiring these attributes, not only will we nurture our souls, but also will attract others to the faith. People everywhere are looking for a force that can make the world a better place to live. Each one of us could become the example of the transforming power of Baha'u'lláh's revelation.
Universal participation. The work of building God's kingdom on earth will go much faster if each one does his part. The Baha'i community is like a body. Each part has a job to do. Muscle and bone have different characteristics and functions, but they work in cooperation. If a part becomes non-functional, the whole body may continue to live, but is definitely affected. Our capacities and functions are different. The only thing that all can do is to pray and strive to live the life of a true Baha'i. All other things we do according to our capacities. It is essential that women, particularly where repressed, should be encouraged to participate equally and contribute to the progress of society. This will be in fulfillment of Abdu'l-Bahá's vision where he stated, quote, "Humanity is like a bird with its two wings. The one is male, the other female. Unless both wings are strong, the bird cannot fly heavenwards." End quote.
19-day feast. This was just mentioned under Baha'i administration, but it should be seen as more than an administrative duty. The feast is the heart of Baha'i community life. It is a time when the spiritual assembly reports to and consults with the community and hears recommendations. Since community affairs are freely discussed, only Baha'is in good standing may attend. Every Baha'i should attend the feast meeting regularly unless ill or out of town.
Observance of holy days. These holy days commemorate events in the lives of the Bab and Baha'u'lláh, as well as the New Year's Day. There are 9 holy days. The birth, declaration, and martyrdom of the Bab. The birth of Baha'u'lláh. 1st, 9th, and 12th day of Rezwan for declaration of Baha'u'lláh and his ascension. The first day of the Baha'i New Year, called Nowruz, is celebrated on the first day of spring, usually March 21st. On these holy days, work and school should be suspended. Some holy days, such as the martyrdom of the Bab and ascension of Baha'u'llah, are solemn occasions and must be observed with reverence and not in a festive manner. The intercalary days, also called Ayyam-e Ha, are usually 4, but 5 days in leap years. These occur between the 18th and 19th month and are not holy days. They precede the month of fasting and are for hospitality, charity, and giving presents, always remembering those less fortunate.
Spiritual education of children. The spiritual education of children develops and increases their spiritual capacity, acquaints them with Baha'i history and teachings, and gives them Baha'i values and manners. The responsibility of children's education is a duty given by Baha'u'llah to parents and the local assemblies. Children may be registered with the National Spiritual Assembly at birth or any time later. Then, by the age of 15, they will receive a letter from the National Assembly welcoming them as Baha'i youth. Since there is no coercion, it should be the decision of the individual to remain as a Baha'i. Age 15 is the age of spiritual maturity, when the laws of obligatory prayer and fasting become binding.
Deepening. The study of the writings of Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Bahá, and Shoghi Effendi's explanations will enable us to recognize Baha'u'llah's station better and to learn how his teachings will transform individuals and society. Since the guardian is the expounder of the faith, his writings must be studied. By deepening ourselves, we will be able to teach the cause better, both by personal transformation and our increased knowledge.
Topic number 8 is Progressive Revelations. Shoghi Effendi, expounding on Baha'i teachings, states, quote, "Its teachings revolve around the fundamental principle that religious truth is not absolute but relative, that divine revelation is progressive, not final," end quote. The first subject, religion. In the present condition of fear and hatred in every way possible, it appears that there is no end to this unity. As Baha'is, we understand what is happening in the world today. As the Guardian stated, it is the death pangs of the old order folding and the birth pangs of the new order unfolding. While we are in the world of today, yet Baha'u'llah has given us the vistas of the future. Today, while religion itself seems to be a source of disunity, Baha'u'llah has brought a religion that will unite all peoples. He teaches belief in one God, the unity of mankind, and unity of religions in one common faith. The prophets and messengers are all part of God's plan to educate man. The Baha'i writings call this plan progressive revelation. Baha'u'llah wrote an entire book about it called the Kitab-e-Iran, or the Book of Certitude. Abdu'l-Bahá, in his travels in Europe and North America, emphasized this issue.
God's purpose for man. Of all the created things, through his love and bounty, God blessed mankind with soul, a soul capable of reflecting the attributes of God. This is what is meant by being created in the image of God. The purpose of the manifestation of God is to guide mankind for a happy life and preparation of their souls to enter the worlds of God, wholesome and not handicapped.
God and His Prophets. God, being the unknowable essence, forever will remain a mystery to His creatures. The manifestations of God are our only link with God. Because they are such perfect mirrors, manifesting God to the degree man can understand, one may think that they are God. Abdu'l-Bahá states, that is not true. The manifestations are called the mouthpieces of God when the revelation comes to them. One must not let the love for one messenger blind him to the light of another. Abdu'l-Bahá states, quote, attachment to the lantern is not loving the light. End quote. One must love the light from wherever it comes.
The unity of God's manifestations. Today the world is filled with lovers of lamps and candles, disagreeing over the shape or color of the lamps or candles. Unfortunately, they are not recognizing the light of unity. Baha'u'llah states, quote, know thou assuredly that the essence of all prophets of God is one and the same. Their unity is absolute, end quote. And then he further states they are, quote, as one soul and the same person, end quote. The sun of today is the same that shone yesterday, but today is a different day. Let us say the sun of summer is the same sun of winter, but its intensity is different. Intensity of the revelations of the manifestations increase with the capacity of mankind. Baha'is believe in divine station of Adam, Abraham, Noah, Krishna, Moses, Zoroaster, Buddha, Jesus, and Muhammad, who belong to the prophetic cycle. The Bab ushered in the advent of Baha'u'llah, who is the inaugurator of the Day of God.
The fulfillment of prophecy. As the designation of prophet applies, all the messengers of the past, because of their pre-existing soul, had the knowledge of the past and the future. They all could see man's coming of age, and thus they all prophesied the coming of the Lord of the vineyard. Unfortunately, most men, not having spiritual eyes, have not recognized the manifestations of God because they could not see beyond their human form. Particularly blind were and are those who are proud of their worldly knowledge and veiled by it. Pharisees were such. Jesus gave an idea of progressive revelation when he said, quote, I have still many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, however, he will guide you into all truth. End quote.
The cycle of revelation. Today, science is proving that man has existed for millions of years, and Baha'u'llah states that the manifestations, quote, have been sent down from time immemorial, end quote. Each cycle of the manifestations is like nature's cycles. Every springtime, a surge of growth happens, but when winter arrives, the tree of humanity is ready for another teacher to give it another surge. However, one spring is very special in the life of a tree, and that is when it reaches maturity and gives its blossoms to bear fruit. Now is that special cycle in the life of the tree of humanity, when the oneness and unity of all peoples will be its first fruit. As the tree gets older, its fruits become better. Manifestations of the future, the first to appear after 1,000 years, will guide mankind so its true nobility shall prevail. Now that the prophetic cycle has ended, we are in a larger cycle called the cycle of fulfillment. To better understand the significance of this cycle and the station of Baha'u'llah, you are encouraged to read the chapter called The Dispensation of Baha'u'llah in the book The World Order of Baha'u'llah by Shoghi Effendi.
Under topic number 9, additional subjects will be discussed. The Greatest Name. Baha'u'llah states that of all the names of God, the greatest is Baha, which is an Arabic word meaning glory, splendor, and light. According to the Guardian, the greatest name includes all of the following: Baha, Baha'u'llah, Ya Baha'ul Abha, Allahu Abha, and the ring symbol. Baha'u'llah means the glory of God. Ya Baha'ul Abha is invoking the name of Baha'u'llah as all glory of the All Glorious. This is the symbol which is often seen as a wall hanging in Baha'i homes. The design of it was by master calligrapher Meshkin Qalam, one of the early believers in the time of Baha'u'llah. The ringstone symbol, which also is seen as a wall hanging or on jewelry, was designed by Abdul Baha. It includes three horizontal lines representing the worlds of God, of the manifestation, and of man. The vertical line crossing the three lines is the world of the manifestation, joining the world of the Creator to that of His creation. The two stars represent the Bab and Baha'u'llah. There are four letters like two eyes. These are Arabic H's standing for Baha'u'llah. The two lines crossing at the center are Arabic B's standing for the Bab. Wearing this symbol is not a law of Baha'u'llah. All greatest name objects are to be treated with utmost respect and reverence as to where they are placed. None should be used on such things as stationery, food decoration, or gravestone. Matter of fact, all the holy verses printed as wall hangings should be placed in a respectable place and not treated casually or placed in an improper location. Allahu Abha is the greeting word exchanged between Baha'is and means God is the All Glorious. However, when non-Baha'is are present, believers should, as the Guardian wrote, quote, avoid anything which to outsiders in a Western country might seem like some strange Oriental password, end quote.
Nine and five pointed stars. Although on many letterheads and other places, the nine pointed star is used as a Baha'i symbol, the Guardian clearly stated that the symbol for the Baha'i faith is the five-pointed star. Since letters in the Arabic alphabet have numerical value, the name Bab equals five and Baha equals nine. Since we are talking about the number nine, it is timely to mention that the nine sides of the Baha'i houses of worship are not to be understood as each side representing or having a door for each of the existing religions, but stands for the holiness of the number nine as the number of Baha. The same goes for the ninth day of Rezwan, being a holy day, is not because Baha'u'llah's family joined him in the Garden of Rizwan on that day, but because of the holiness of number 9.
Baha'i calendar. Its beginning is the year of the declaration of the Bab in 1844. The initials B.E. mean Baha'i era. The whole calendar is called the Badi'i calendar, which means the new calendar. The Bab originated the 19 months of 19 days each, but Baha'u'llah specified that the intercalary days should be between the 18th and 19th month.
The last subject is the World Center and the Ark. The name Baha'i World Center is applied to the Baha'i World Administrative Center located in Haifa, Israel. Review of Baha'i history explains how the Holy Land became the place for the Baha'i shrines. The Tablet of Karmel, revealed by Baha'u'llah in 1891, is the charter for the administrative institutions of the faith on Mount Karmel. Baha'u'llah states, quote, "Ere long will God sail his ark upon thee, and will manifest the people of Baha, who have been mentioned in the Book of Names," end quote. After completion of the superstructure of the Shrine of the Bab on Mount Karmel, Shoghi Effendi designed a far-flung ark, centering on the monuments of Abdu'l-Bahá's sister, mother, brother, and wife. He envisioned 5 harmonious buildings on this ark. The first was completed during his lifetime, the Baha'i International Archives Building. The seat of the Universal House of Justice was completed at the apex of the ark in 1982. The 3 remaining buildings presently under construction are the seat of the International Teaching Center, the Center for Study of the Sacred Texts, and the International Baha'i Library. Garden terraces above and below the Shrine of the Bab are being constructed. The completion of the buildings on the Ark is linked to the beginning of the Lesser Peace. We ask you to overlook the shortcomings of this presentation. The best source of study on any aspect of the Baha'i faith is the sacred words of Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá and the elucidations from the Guardian and the Universal House of Justice. Thank you.